Well, once again, good morning. We're going to be studying the Bible together this morning, as is our custom here. And so towards that end, the ushers are going to walk forward quickly and with Bibles and pencils in hand and make sure you have a Bible in hand. So just get the usher's attention and they'll pass the Bible over to you. Or a pencil to keep notes. We encourage you to do that. Now, while they're passing out the Bibles, let me just add, as Tim mentioned, there is much to get involved in around here. And we just want to encourage you to do so. It is my belief that there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We're called to travel as a family and to grow together, and we sharpen one another in this whole journey. And so get plugged in. Last night was a great example of that. We gathered here at the church. We had a potluck. The Chuck Butler Band was out here. Great time of worship and music and all. If you're here, I trust you're blessed. If you missed it, we encourage you to come out for the other activities coming up. Don't miss out. And the bulletin is how you learn about those. So read up on it, pray about it, and jump on board. We want to travel with you. Everybody have their Bibles? We are in Haggai, chapter 1. Haggai, as you know, we're traveling through the minor prophets right now. We arrived at Haggai, not a big book, only a couple chapters long, so feel free to use your table of contents to find it. But go to Haggai, chapter 1. Lord willing, tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be studying through this and a couple other chapters. Sunday nights are night to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter of the whole Bible. We're coming down to the end of the Old Testament now, so jump on board with us. And this morning, Haggai, chapter 1. Love the sound of rustling Bible pages. Get to know your Bible. Get comfortable with it. Discover where those books are and dig into it on your own, not just on Sunday mornings. And so that's why I encourage you. Bring them, study them, get to know your Bible. Well, as we come to Haggai here, it is the year 520 B.C. So we've just kind of time-traveled back some 2,500 years, but don't let that turn you off. Don't think it's just a dusty history lesson, because this is good stuff. It speaks right to where we're at. You see, the setting is basically this. The Jews had, for a long time, been in rebellion. They'd gone down and down and down, got into horrible things, and so God, in his love for them, had to break them of what they'd gotten into. And towards that end, he caused them to be taken captive by the Babylonians. So they'd gone up and spent some 70 years in captivity in Babylon. Well, as we come to this passage now, a remnant of the Jews have returned. Cyrus came in. The Persians, Medo-Persians, conquered Babylon. Cyrus came in and let them, gave a decree for them to go back home. So now there's a remnant of the Jews, and they're back in Jerusalem and all. They return from their captivity in Babylon. What have they learned from their captivity is the question. What are they up to? Well, we're going to see that things are not as God would have them to be. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What an awesome challenge God sets before them and us this morning. They had gone into captivity because of God's love. What do you mean? Well, it's much like when you, if you're a parent, discipline your children. Hopefully you don't do it because you're being mean, but you know that you have to discipline your children to hopefully break them of something that will be harmful. To have a change of direction for them, to learn the lessons they need to learn. And so you give them timeouts. You put them in the corner. You send them to their room. Or in the case of when it's really needed, you pull out your nuclear arsenal and you paddle the bottom. But the idea is to change behavior. Well, that's what's happened here. And I don't make light of it here. But they've had a major time out. They got spanked good. But the time of their captivity is over. And they're back home. What does God find them doing? What are they all about? Turns out they're about themselves. And so God says to them, consider your ways. What an awesome message that is, not just to them, but to us. Consider your ways. It is crucial that we also stop and take some time and examine where we headed. What are our real priorities? What are we really all about? Not what we say to others, not what we might even try to tell ourselves, but what really is the guiding motive behind that action, that thought? What are we really going to reap from the seeds that we actually are sowing? You know, we live in a day of much activity. You know that. Much busyness. Everybody's so hectic. And certainly in an age of material wealth. So many things to buy and have. And yet, it's an age of such dissatisfaction, such unhappiness. It is good to stop and just do as God called them to do, He calls us to do. Consider your ways. Let's pray. Father, you've drawn us here for this purpose, to worship you, for you are worthy to be praised. And we thank you for that awesome time, just being able to praise you and direct our thoughts and hearts towards you. But Lord, you've also drawn us that we might hear from you, because there's something you want to do. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, take now your word and search us. Cause us to truly consider our ways. What are we really about? Where are we really headed? Who's really in the driver's seat of our lives? Lord, don't let us just coast to this time, much less our lives. And help us, Lord, just to be very sensitive to what your Spirit would say to us right now. So, Lord, we pray you'll keep away the distractions and help us, Lord, create in us just hungry hearts. And, Lord, shake us if we need to be. Root out anything not of you. And help us, Lord, to consider our ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, it was some 16 years earlier, while they were still captives in Babylon, that the new Persian emperor Cyrus had issued a decree permitting the Jews now to go back home after their years of captivity. And so some 50,000 approximately of these Jewish exiles now returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. They're under the leadership, as we learned here in verse 1, of Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest. And they indeed do set apart at first. They set out rebuilding the temple. They clear away the rubble because it was in ruins. It was in bad shape. So they clear away all the rubble from the temple court. They replace the altar and they begin to be able to have their daily sacrifices at the altar and all. They laid the foundations of the temple. They started well. They seemingly had learned the lesson. But then Cyrus was succeeded by another emperor. And he was pushed by some people opposing the work there in Jerusalem. And he gave in to them. And he sends a kind of a cease and desist order, telling them to knock it off for the time being. Well, the people began to be about their business. And we'll look at it tonight, Lord willing. But really, the cease and desist order, for a couple of reasons. And we see God here by his very what he's saying here, showing that they shouldn't have been following that. But the point is, they got into their own things. They got taken care of their own business. And they were settling for worship among the ruins, and they were busy about taking care of their own homes and all. So when we come to this text, it's now some 14 years later. The temple's still in ruins and all. And so God sends Haggai with a message for the people in verse 2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, if you look at it, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now it's evident from the way that's worded that the people were making excuses as to why they didn't need to do what God had called them to do. Oh yes, they would probably agree mentally. Oh yes, it was a work that needed to be done. We really should get back to building the temple. We should press forward with this thing. But it's not time yet. Got other things that are pressing. Got to get about these other things, you know. And so there they were. Well, look at God's response, verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? What was God's response to them? You say you don't have enough time. You say it's not time yet. It's not time to be about God's work. You say there is no time. Interesting, you seem to have time for your stuff. He says, you built your houses really nice. You got them all paneled and looking good. You got all those things happening in your home. You got time for that. But the temple lies in ruins. And of course, already we're thinking about how this applies to us. And what was said of them could be said today of so much of what God calls us to do. And that's the challenge. How often when God speaks to us and we recognize His calling to us, does He find us also saying, well, it's not time yet, and I've got other things I need to do. We have time for our houses. We have time for our hobbies. We have time for television. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for some of those things in their place, of course. But it has with priorities. It has to do with God being first. It has to do with being about His business. Interesting, we can put in those extra hours at work with the hope of a little bigger paycheck. Oh, we can find time for that. If you're into something, sports, surfing, you always seem to get up early enough for that. Whatever it might be, we can carve out time for those things. He says, interesting. He says, is it time for you to be living in your house, or your paneled houses, and the house of God lies in ruin? Verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in a little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Doing all this stuff. He said, you're doing all this stuff, but you're getting so little for all your efforts. Does that not sound like a lot of the hecticness? Is that a word? Anyway, all the hectic activity that in general this world is into. More and more and have and do, and we have all our modern conveniences to free up time so we can do and do more. He says, but for all you're doing, what do you have? And then verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I have called for a drought on the land, and the mountains, on the grain, and the new wine, and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. The plot thickens. It's not just things were going bad. Well, just my luck, but it'll get better. No, God was bringing about their condition. They were doing much work with little results. And God here declares it was directly due to His intervention for the purpose of getting their attention, to show them what they were really about, to show them, because he loves them. And he says, if I let you keep building your life on that, you'll be ripped off. You'll end this life and say, what was it all about? See, you want a life well spent, but we buy into this culture of what they define it to be. And that will rip off a person in the long run. And so God declares to them, you're working a lot, but you're getting little results. Question, don't answer out loud, of course, but let the Lord speak to us. Could that be said of you? Seem to you like you're doing more and more and getting less and less? Have you looked for much, but find little results? In short, have you considered that there might just be some connection between how you're doing and the Lord's place in your life? He sure is mean. No, he's not. He's doing that because he knows what's going to come of what you're really about. That real driving motive. Those things that seem to, we think somehow that's going to do it. Just got to have that thing. Do it. Be there, do that, whatever. And yet we're doing all this. And still people struggle and they're so unhappy. Yes, believers. Those who name Jesus, but yet still so dissatisfied. Because in the heart they've bought into that it's something or somebody or some activity out there. He says, consider your ways. It's a call to judge ourselves. To really stop and consider some things about ourselves. I invite you to do so. In the Hebrew, that phrase, consider your ways, in the Hebrew, it's literally set your heart on your ways. So it means to not just mentally consider your ways, it's to heart evaluate. It's to ponder earnestly what you're really about. Where you're going to end up if you keep going that way, if you let those things make the decisions for you. Really think about what you've sacrificed to get ahead, what you've given up spiritually to somehow gain a few bucks in the bank. This is no mere mental exercise, is the point. The call to consider your ways is something that we need to seek and ask the Holy Spirit to take that now and just search our motives, search our hearts as well as our minds as to what we're about. And it is, it's an awesome tool in God's hands, in the Holy Spirit's hands, to let Him speak to us about, to consider our ways as we make our decisions and all. I'll give you some examples. Are you someone who's not yet decided what to do about Jesus? We welcome you here, of course. But it's important that you do make a decision, that you receive what He did for you on the cross. Consider your ways this morning if you've not received Jesus as Savior. You see, the Bible says, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way. Remember the challenge this morning? Consider your ways. Consider where you're going and what you're basing life upon. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man. Are you heaven bound? Will you get into heaven? Well, perchance you say, well, yeah, I think so. I hope so. And I ask you, on what basis? And what you'll say is what almost all of us said at one time before we understood how this whole thing really works. And you probably would say, well, because I'm basically a good person. And so to you, you think the way to heaven is, well, the good will outweigh the bad and I get to go in. And so we all know that if you're basically good, you go to heaven, right? No, that's how man thinks. There's a way that seems right to a man. But that's not God's economy. Because you know what? I'm glad you're, quote, basically good, but the truth is you're not. I mean, I'm glad you're a nice person, but down deep we're all sinners. And something has to be done about that sin, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. Paying for it. Paying for your salvation. But you have to receive it. There's a way that seems right. Consider your ways, unbeliever. Jesus himself said, I am the way. Consider your ways. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Consider your ways. What have you done about Jesus? There isn't some way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to heaven. You have to come through him. Consider what you're basing your life upon. Consider. You don't want to stand at heaven's gates and say, Lord, let me explain to you why I deserve to be here. You don't want to do that. Consider your ways. Jesus is the way. Receive him today. But now, for us believers, this is such a rich passage. And let God take it right now and speak to you. I know it's been an interesting week of study for me. As God just from time, it's a great tool. As we go about our days and make our choices and everything, to let God speak to us about, hey, consider your ways right now. Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? Why are you going there? Just let God begin to show you these things. So many applications here. This morning, believer, consider your ways in terms of business, your work, your employment. We live in such a very materialistic age. And it's so easy to get caught up in believing that the answer is out there. And we all know that that space inside of us is shaped exactly like a high-def plasma TV. And so we stand there at Costco drooling. Oh, I got to get that TV. I can picture it right now hanging on the wall. And then I'll be satisfied. Yeah, you're laughing, but I know. Because that was me next to you at Costco. Drooling over the TVs. It's tempting. If I just had this computer and that car and that outfit and that stereo and on and on. Consider your ways. Consider your ways in business and how you do business. Well, everybody's cutting corners and I'll lose that job if I don't lie and on and on. What have you sacrificed to gain a little money? What have you compromised? What have you given up time and family-wise and everything else to have a little more? Oh, I know we need to pay the bills, but that's always the excuse. I need that savings account, and I need the retirement. Of course, there's wisdom in planning, but we use it. To neglect the call of God and be all about money. Consider your ways in your home life this morning. Maybe that's where God wants to speak to you about it. Consider your ways in your home. What's it like around your house? Is the Word of God really valued? Really? How much time is spent individually and as a family reading it? Talking about its applications? Praying? How much really is your home a characteristic of or characterized by peace and hope? Or is truth be told, are the ways of your home full of strife and contention and criticalness and anger and gossip? How interesting it is. Parents will leave church, drive along in the car with the kids in the back seat. And what do the kids hear? Do you believe that, Pastor? He went on and on. I can't believe it. He went so long, man, he's going to make me miss the ball game. Besides, I didn't like what he said. I don't like his voice. And it was too... And the worship was too loud, and the heat wasn't right, on and on. And the kids are going, well, I guess that's what church does. It makes you critical. It makes you mad and angry. I guess that's what it's about. And they hear you see that outfit she wore? Oh, gossip. The kids are on. I'm going to make sure to add that one to my life. And we want, what's going to come from that? Consider your ways, parent. You think you're going to sow corn and get wheat? You think we're going to sow that in our lives of our children and get some kind of blessed experience with the kids? Well, I took them to church. Yeah, but they saw what it did in you. They heard you. If they hear you backbiting God's workers, are they going to value God's workers? The pastor, the worship team, the teachers in their Sunday school? No. Consider your ways for your home. Consider your ways in connection to serving the Lord and gathering as a group of believers. Hey, Pastor, what's your point now? I'm at church, aren't I? Awesome. I got a privilege to gather with you, and that's great. For some of you, that's it. And I strongly encourage you to think about that. Most of you aren't going to eat one time this week physically. But we'll be happy eating once spiritually. 7 days without walking in the Lord makes one weak. There's a pun in there somewhere. Anyway, the point is, we coast along. We think we can survive on a little bit. How lightly too many Christians value gathering with the body. We'll give a Sunday morning, but come on, I got things to do the rest of the week. It is my contention, for example, that the communion service should be the best attended service in the church. It's when we gather to celebrate, humbly celebrate, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And he calls us to do so. But what did they say? It's not time. I don't have time. I got other things to do. I got some work. What's more important than gathering with the family to grow and encourage and pray and remember what he did for us? Consider your ways is the call. Consider your ways when it comes to sharing about him. Oh, no, Pastor, I can't do that. That's your job, Pastor. And that's the missionary people's job. Do you know that you're the missionary into your work? You're the missionary into your neighborhood, into your extended family. Consider your ways when it comes to just sharing about what he's done in your life. Witnessing, we call it. Sharing God's love, the gospel. Next year, I can't share with my co-workers during break. They'll think I'm weird. And they won't like me. And we come up, it's not time. Maybe later. I need to establish a relationship first. You've been establishing a relationship for 5 years. Right now, they just think you're a good guy. They don't know it's because of God in your life. They don't know it's because of Jesus. Consider your ways. And here comes the one that you know it's coming. Consider your ways with that green stuff in your wallet. God gives it. He provides for us. But he asks us to understand we're stewards of even our finances. Consider your ways when it comes to supporting God's work. Interesting. Is there more than enough money for a trip or that TV? Again, not they don't have their place. Vacations are great. But is God in the budget anywhere? Is there an eternal view for your finances in any way? Do you value putting a Bible in someone's hand or meeting a need of someone, whatever it might be? It's interesting how many times I talk to people. It's interesting how often when things get tight financially, what's the first thing to go out of the budget? God, I'm not going to be able to give to you this month, but I'll catch up somewhere down the road. And all it's doing is showing our priorities and our understanding of how this thing works. God's not broke, but it's searching our hearts to what we're really about. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And he's talking about priorities and saying, consider your ways is the call. And again, what were they saying to all of this? It's not the right time. I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with priorities later. I'll be about what you've called me to later, Lord. But I got to do this and got to do that. And the Lord said, oh, is it time? Is it time? Is it time to be in your house and going about what you're going and the things of God going neglected? They were too busy taking care of their own stuff. But what did Jesus teach us? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows our needs. He's not saying quit your job and go sit on a mountain or something. But in the midst of all this, what has priority? First things first is the call. See, the Gentiles, meaning the unbelievers, they're all about those things. They're in the driver's seat. Got to have, got to get. And they're driven by fear of not having it or somehow the pleasure of having it, what it's going to do, never works. But on and on, he goes, but for us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Consider your ways is the call. But now, look at this. We haven't read this yet. We left off at verse 11. Let's read the next two verses, because the story doesn't end there for them. And I want us to see that. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, now notice, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. The people, from the leaders on down, heeded God's call. I pray that he'll find us this morning heeding God's call. Taking to heart this challenge to consider our ways and to bring them in line with his calling and his will. Because it's the place of blessing. Notice this. As they made God's priorities their priorities, he encourages them. And what's he tell them in verse 13? I'm with you. Now, the Lord's always with us, but those who obey experience the blessings, the awareness of his presence. And there's something else to that. He's telling them, reminding them and us, and important for us to remember, that when he calls us to something, he goes with us. And not just does he go with us, he empowers us. His word tells us what he calls us to do, he empowers us to do. He's simply asking, are you available? See, it's not build the temple, hope you make it. Answer my call, be about me, follow my ways, I'll see you at the other side, hope you get through. No, but he goes with us, and he empowers us to what he calls us to. So the question isn't, am I able to follow God's calling? It's, am I available for what God's calling me to? Now, I want to be very fair here and mention something. We are much blessed by the response in this fellowship for the needs in our body, in this community. And so I do not make light of, so many here in this fellowship. Yes, you've considered your ways and you've said, Lord, here I am. I see God doing, I get to see, and I'm so blessed by the response. Please know that I'm not making light of that. I look around on any given Sunday morning. I look at our worship team. I look at the sound team. I look at the PowerPoint, our lending library. I look at the ushers and the greeters. I think of the children's ministry workers, high school, junior high, and all the unnamed servants that get this place ready so you and I can come in here and get blessed. It's awesome. I look at the response to our Road to Resurrection play we put on at Easter, and wow, what an impact that was in this body, in this community. I look at our VBS we just had, our Vacation Bible School. Man, some 100 workers, a couple 100 kids, awesome stuff. So I understand. Many of you are considering your ways. You're saying, yes, Lord, I want my ways to line up with yours. Good stuff. All I'm saying is this fits me and everybody here, no matter what we do and all. There's just that basic thing we need God to be doing constantly. And that is let God search our heart. See, don't say, well, I served in VBS, now it'd be all about me for another 11 months. But it's to continually say, Lord, I discovered some things from serving you. That was the place of blessing. Lord, I discover as I offer to you, you pour out on me, not new cars or something. We don't miss the point if we think that's what it's about. But Lord, this closeness with you, this watching you work, this whole thing of discovering why I'm here. See, that's what it's about. And so we need to 24/7, whatever level you're serving or whatever you're doing, there still needs to be this, and I think it's an awesome thing, this attitude of letting God show us our ways. Consider your ways. It's the place of blessing and protection. Consider when you're making a choice. God, what do you say about this? What would you have me do? What's your word say? I'm going to seek some godly counsel on this one. I'm going to pray continually. God, what will come from this decision? For some of you that are younger, what's your life's goal? Where are you headed? Now, I know right now you may not know. Most of us don't know what tomorrow holds. But the point is, where are you aiming? He's got something for you, for all of us. He's got a calling, a place for you in the body of Christ, and a purpose while you were born. Are you seeking it and discovering it and walking in it? Consider your ways. Where's that choice going to get you? Let the Holy Spirit use that thought to consider your ways when you are thinking something. When you're playing with a thought that's going to get you nowhere good, let God put him and say, hey, consider that thought. What are you doing thinking about that person that way? What are you doing letting your eyes watch that stuff? Consider your ways. Where is that going to get you? What's that? What's your motive behind that right there? Where are you going with that one? And if we just will develop that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and then obey it when he shows us, we'll just, Lord, help me consider my ways. Heart, consider my ways. We will discover such an awareness of his presence and his work, and it's a place of blessing, spiritual blessing. But it comes down to us. Got to hunger for it. You got to really understand it's the best place. I encourage you, take time. Continually be available to hear and respond to that challenge from the Lord to consider your ways. Where are you headed? What are you really going to be about? In thought, in action, motive, everything. Let's stand. There'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. If you have not received Christ the Savior, do it today. They'll be there. They'd love to pray with you about it. For the rest of us, you know Christ as Savior. But what are you about? Oh, God loved them and he loves us. And in his love, he says, consider your ways. Slow down and examine what you're about. You want a life well lived? You want to hear well done when it's all said and done? Then consider your ways along the way. Don't let the culture make the decisions. Don't let the world's pressures drive this thing. But submit your ways to him. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, before we hurry off into our days of family and friends and all it holds, and that's awesome, and it's of you and good, and well, when it's of you, it's good stuff. So we're just saying, lead us in that. But right now, in this place, and in this time, Lord, we slow down. Because you have us here for a purpose. And so, Lord, would you help us right now to consider our ways? Lord, we kind of take a moment of silence here, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. We ask you to not let us off the hook, so to speak, Lord, but do whatever you need to do. Father, for that man or woman there right now, they know that there's some things in their business, some things in their employment, the way they're doing their job that you're asking them, you're calling them to consider their ways. By your Holy Spirit, Lord, empower them to now take the step you're showing them and to do it your way. Lord, for those that you've challenged us maybe about the home life, things are out of order there, Lord. Well, maybe you're named, but it's not a real reality there. And Lord, as you're saying, consider our ways at home. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit to make those changes, that it would be a refuge for each one there, for parents and children, and it'd be just a just soaked in you, home soaked in you and about you, at peace in you. For those you're challenging us in all these ways, Lord, be it to serve you, how we use not just finances, but time, energy, everything. Lord, help us to consider our ways right now. And then, Lord, help us to be doers. To not just say, that was nice, that was challenging, but just to go about our own way. But Lord, they heard, they responded and you used them. You worked in them and through them, Lord. Do the same in us. So, Lord, help us. Not just here, but now as we head out, Lord. 24/7, Lord, help us to let you, by your Spirit, heart search us. Help us to always just consider our ways and to yield them all to you. And for your glory, we ask it. In Jesus' name. Amen.